entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Power of Love, sponsored by the Dede Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. I am TG Jackson. With me, I have both brothers, Taj and Terrell. How are you guys?
What's up?
Doing well. How are you?
I am great. I almost said we are great.
Yeah. We are Groot.
We are great. No, Taj, we are not Groot.
Yeah, okay.
That's a great movie. Anyways, we are live on the Power of Love Show. So if you're listening to us right now, thank you for joining us. We will be opening up the phone lines. If you want to call in and contribute to our show, the number to call in is 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815. If you'd rather tweet us to comment and contribute to our show, please do so at the letters DDJ and then the word foundation. So DDJ Foundation. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who have experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it. We've learned from it. And we want to share our opinions in an attempt to help you overcome whatever it is you're going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. Do not rely on us. First of all, how are you guys?
Went through that quick.
Yeah.
I'm on a mission right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got a lot to discuss. So
you did that in, what, less than a minute?
Me, just jumped right in.
Hey.
It's good.
No fooling around here. How are you guys?
Good. Doing great.
On this Halloween day, it's October 31, 2018.
Yes.
So you guys all know what you're going to be
in
costume?
Todd's in costume.
Huh?
No, just kidding.
Yeah. We should have came in costume.
Yeah, right.
What about it?
No, I said, do you know what you're
going
to be?
I'm not going trick-or-treating, huh?
Trick-or-treating. I'm turning off my lights.
Wait a second. So you're not going trick-or-treating, and you're not going to hand out candy either?
No one comes up my hill.
And
if they, actually, if they do and they ring the doorbell, they deserve some kind of, I'll look for something.
And you'll give them something.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. If he lives on a regular street,
yes.
Would you hand out candy?
Yes.
Yeah, he wouldn't throw that. He'd probably
I would.
The
I'd
whole
be very
house
festive.
Set up.
Yeah, I would.
He would set that up.
It's a duty to do.
It is. It's a responsibility.
Todd would actually enjoy that.
Yeah.
I know that.
I'd have music,
Halloween?
Ambient music.
Ooh,
of course. Yeah.
You would, Todd?
100%.
He'd have a little maze. 100%.
Would you go all there with a maze and stuff?
Yeah, he would.
I would make it a house 100%. That people be like, you have to go to this house.
Okay.
And it wouldn't be for the candy. It would be more for the atmosphere.
The atmosphere.
Yeah, did you see
the experience.
Yeah.
He would go all out.
Okay.
You know that. Look at him.
Yeah.
I would also scare a couple kids along the way.
Yeah. Make sure they get it's worth it.
Part of it.
Terrell, you ready? With you and your family for the costumes and everything?
Yeah. You know, it's crazy because Bryce is getting older.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. He just wasn't really...
Into it this year?
Into
really?
It that much. But he ended up being... He didn't really know what he wanted to be.
Uh-huh.
But we ended up going to a Halloween store yesterday.
Oh.
And it's funny because he ended up wanting to be either Freddy Krueger?
Yeah.
Freddy Krueger, Jason,
yeah.
Or Michael Myers.
Yeah.
So it was one of those. I think he ended up being, Jason.
Okay.
So, and he wanted me to go as someone, so I'm going to have to be Michael Myers or something.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that's what he ended up doing. And Adrian's, I don't know, he saw Nacho Libre.
We watched that movie. That's a funny movie.
So I forget what they're called.
The wrestlers?
Yes.
I don't remember either. They're not like
Conchettos?
Taj should know this.
I know. It's
maybe
my mind.
Something like that. But anyways, he's you know those costumes where it's like they're stacked and it looks like they're...
Three people?
It looks like it's like a trick. Like if you look at it, you think they're like...
Mm-hmm.
So basically it looks like he's on the shoulders of a wrestler.
Yeah.
When he's on.
So he that's so, who he
that's
is.
That's what he is.
Okay.
That's cool.
Which is funny. But yeah, I don't know. We're going to go probably in Lou's area or something.
You guys go early? Is that what...
Yeah, I think it gets dark around 6-7-ish.
Yeah, so around 6:30.
What are you gonna be?
I'm Batman again. Yeah. So.
What about your family?
I think we're just doing DC. I think we're still in the.
So, shared themes. Okay.
Yeah, shared. We do shared themes.
Royal Robin.
Rio.
Royal.
Royal. I don't know what Royal is gonna be.
No. It'd be great if he was Robin.
What is Rio?
Not
Rio's gonna be
Spider-Man.
Robin.
He's gonna be Robin.
Yeah.
I thought he was gonna be a little mini Batman.
He has a little Batman, but he's going to be Robin.
So why don't you be Robin?
because I didn't get a Robin costume.
No, see how it is. Okay.
So plus, I'm Batman.
But let him be Batman. You be Robin.
No, he's gonna
let him run it.
No, plus he's excited to be Robin because he's had the outfit and it has the R, and he knows that R means real.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that.
All right.
So, yeah, so it'll be fun though. I've learned that Halloween's a lot of fun, you know, and it's just not good for the diet, but it's a lot of fun. All right, so anything else we want to talk about?
Yeah, well, we had the big Costume for Cause.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which was PLLA.
Which was great.
That was, I mean, the whole weekend was a lot. So start on Friday, we had our DDJF PLLA event, which was great. It's always great costumes.
Yeah.
I always love what Clyde does.
Yeah, Clyde always goes out.
Yeah. And then, it was great. And there was a lot of support from friends and family. And met new people, which is great. And it was all for a good cause for Dede Jackson, and helped heal LA along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, BG's mazes are incredible. Everybody's talking about it.
Yep.
And last year was great. This year, I thought the decorations and everything were just a step up.
Good.
I didn't think it was possible, but I think it was better than last year.
Cool. It's a very strong event, and it's a lot of fun, and I think it's really important not only for the foundations but for all of us as a family and friends to get together and share in a nice event. So, and then the Sunday event for the kids is always a great one to see these kids have the time of their lives and smile and laugh, and that moment when a kid doesn't know if they should go straight, left, right, if they should.
Too many things to do.
Too many great options.
Not enough time.
It's so beautiful. And it reminds me of like really being at Neverland or something where it's like, what do I do?
There's magic in there.
There's a magic in that. And to be able to give that to these kids is awesome. Mm-hmm. Okay. So anything else, Taj?
No, you know, after the DDJF event and the HLA event on Sunday as well, now I got to get into baby mode.
Yeah.
I've pushed it back as, you know, my wife's been super patient. Now it's time. I feel like I'm cramming for a test in a way, but.
Has it hit you yet?
It's still a little surreal, but obviously I see her belly every time I see her, but it's still like surreal because I haven't focused on like the car ride or, you know, to the hospital. Like I haven't even thought about that. We have the baby seat, but you know, it's still in its box, but we're going to open it today. You know,
you haven't really opened up any of that kind of stuff.
We haven't opened up the gifts. Everything's been so crazy and you know, cause of the event and stuff like that. So now we're going to go through the gifts that we got. And I know the baby seat has to go in, you know, you can't leave the hospital. it's a cramped test.
To
you know,
see what kind of
Yeah. But it's a lot of fun. I'm super excited. I'm excited to have a girl as well.
You are, Taj?
Yeah.
Has it grown on you, or?
You know, the thing was, is that I really, you know, I've always wanted a boy just because, you know, I know how to, I shouldn't say I know how to raise a boy, but I know what I know what to expect with a boy. So with a girl, it's like, I just thought I would be so easy on her and too lenient, you know, like if she knew how to manipulate me, she would probably get away with everything, you know, like that kind of thing. And so that was.
So you were worried about that?
I was worried about that. But since Tiana was pregnant, I knew it was going to be a girl. It just sensed it. And so when the doctor said it, I was like, I know already. And I'm super excited because I know there's that bond, you know, like that we had with our mom, you know, in terms of like with, you know, parents and stuff like that. And I know there's a father daughter bond as well.
Now, you know, when you travel and you walk around and things, you're going to have diaper bags and all that stuff.
I'm prepared for that actually.
Are you?
And a backpack.
That's what I was going to get to. Are you going to, what are you going to do with the backpack?
Well, I saw the, you know, those things that you can carry the baby on. It goes front or back. So, you know, I'm used to the backpack. So I'm excited to carry her around.
But you got other bags.
No.
It's a lot you got to take.
Hey, I'm ready.
You'll be all right. It's going to be fun.
All right. Well, talking about things, we're gonna do part two.
Yeah.
Part
two.
Of the topic we started last week.
Which was?
27 things that can really help you while you're grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through the first 9. And as a recap, I'll quickly say the 9. Number 1 was attend a dinner party put on by the dinner party. Attend a dinner put on by the dinner party. And Taj, if you remember, they were a guest of ours. And it was a great Great little organization that does parties for people who are grieving. Mm-hmm. Number two, set aside about 15 minutes each day to be by yourself in a quiet place to give yourself space to grieve. I enjoy that. I think 15 minutes is a great amount of time to just let yourself catch up to your thoughts. Obviously, I don't think an hour or two is so beneficial, because then I think you can kind of sulk and
get relish in it,
and relish a little bit too long in it. So I think 15 minutes is great. Number three, write letters to your loved one. Love this one. It helps you connect to them. It helps you get things out. Mm-hmm. Number four, binge watch a lot of TV. Not one I would have predicted, but one that, as Terrell and I would have thought, Taj would like, and he's smiling. And
I did a lot of
Taj, what comes to mind when you see that?
I watched, when Mom passed, I watched a lot of Robotech and Three Stooges. So I went back to my childhood kind of thing. Good, happy memories of that. So,
and that helped?
It helped a lot, yeah, believe it or not. I mean, I didn't laugh a lot with the Three Stooges, which I always did before, but it still made me feel better.
Yeah. Okay. Number five, commemorate milestones with their favorite food, which is cool.
Yep.
You know, it's kind of self-explanatory. Number six, find a local death cafe to talk about death and grieving with others who have experienced loss. And I didn't mention this last time because I do remember saying how the term death cafe seemed very morbid and very kind of like scary. And then I'm looking at the logo or the icon, which looks equally scary. It's like a skeleton on a coffee cup.
Like smiling.
I guess he is smiling. But it's interesting because it seems like it's trying to grasp it and trying to, what's the right word? Just be real with it, I guess, right? Number seven, look through old pictures, emails, letters, and anything else you shared. Again, self-explanatory. I think one that we do automatically. Eight, tell a lot of jokes, shocking ones. One I wouldn't have thought, but connection is about being effed up together. There's no humanity in perfection. That is not my quote, but that's a quote from an Instagram post in the picture of this article. Number nine, seek out a therapist you trust. Again, one that we didn't really experience, but one that I've learned to really appreciate and respect, is the importance of finding a great therapist, someone that you could trust, someone that you could pour your true inner feelings about with no judgment, and hopefully get some good advice or at least great listening from the other side. So that's one that I think our society definitely pushes and we agree with. You know, family therapy or just even individual therapists is very important. Okay, so with that said, Taro, do you want to read number 10?
Number 10.
Yes.
Write out all of your emotions on paper.
Okay. Mm. So, I would never do this.
No?
I wouldn't.
Why?
It just seems cumbersome. Like, if I'm feeling sad or feeling lonely, why not just think it and move on? But maybe with the incentive and the direction to do it, there may be an added incentive to do it.
Let me ask you a question, though.
Yes.
Because does that cover, like, writing songs?
We spoke about that last time,
but I'm going to say no. For the sake of this argument. Because there was one that was writing letters. So we computed
kind of, but this is writing down your thoughts.
This is writing down your emotions.
Yeah, so.
So like lonely, sad.
Like in lyrics, kind of like.
Yeah, but I think it just means the terms. It's not reading it and making not it like sense. It.
Okay.
I like this one. I think it's important to get your emotions out, to write how you're feeling out on paper. I think we spoke about this last week where you just write how you feel. And I think because you're actually writing, it takes longer and you kind of lose focus of everything else and you can just zoom in on your thoughts. And I think it's one of those things where you focus more and puts you in a place where you're real with yourself.
Yeah.
So I like this one, actually.
You like this one?
Mm-hmm. I think it's very similar to, like, you know, in relationships, they say you write your stuff and then you crumble the paper and you put it in the fire.
Yeah.
I think it's very similar.
Okay. Number 11, find a hobby that fills you with happiness. This one seems I don't want to see obvious. Because, well, but it's a good one. You got to find something that's going to bring happiness. I like how Taj just shared with us how he was watching Robotech and the Three Stooges. And it wasn't that he was laughing at the Three Stooges, but it just put him in a happy place. And I think, I remember, you know, well, one of my favorite book is, I'm so bad with titles and authors, but he was a guest of ours. And it was about the suffering. Remember him? Dr., I think it was Rabbi Leader, something like that. But he basically mentioned the importance of doing just that. Because I was always saying, well, can't you get too sad? Can't you put yourself in too bad of a position? And he kind of clarified that for me. It's like, at first, when you're in that very, very vulnerable state, you just got to find a way to be happy, a way to kind of survive it. You know, once you feel more stable with your feelings, then you can revisit and really be true with how you're feeling. But the first step is you got to be happy and pick yourself up.
However, on this one, our... I should say as well.
Yeah.
I think when they say find a hobby that fills you with happiness, I think because the example they give is finding something new that you haven't done before.
Oh.
So, for instance, in this story, the guy picked up gardening.
Ooh.
So it's finding something that you haven't done before that you enjoy. So it's almost opening a new door or finding a new chapter or something different that you haven't done before that, you know.
Yeah.
Brings you joy.
Yeah. And I think that's a very important distinction because I've never gardened in my life, but I could see how that could be incredibly therapeutic.
That is therapeutic.
As something like that, sewing, what else could be very therapeutic? That's something that I've never.
You're going to disagree, but cleaning.
I'm not going to disagree. Really? Vacuuming and cleaning a backyard, that's kind of similar. But yeah. All that new kind of hobby, that new adventure can help you kind of re-spark something.
Mm-hmm.
If it's not physical satisfaction, then it can also just be the ability to put your mind at a place to let it, you know, drift.
Right.
So, and by the way, the book was More Beautiful Than Before, How Suffering Transforms Us. And it is by, you guys don't know? Rabbi Stephen Leader. He was our guest. He was a great book.
You were pretty right.
Yeah, I was, right? I was impressed with that. Okay, number 12. Wear their clothing or jewelry.
Yeah. That's pretty common. I think a lot of people do that, no?
I think some people do.
Really?
Jewelry. Yeah, I guess jewelry, huh?
Yeah. For sure.
Really?
For sure.
Todd, you got anything of input with that?
No, I think so. Is tattoo in there? Because I know a lot of people get tattoos. That's kind of like
maybe,
a jewelry.
Maybe that's coming up. But
that's like a...
That's an accessory that they get to remind them.
This is something I think that's passed down. And that keeps you close to them. Like when you have their earrings or their necklace or their ring or a watch, you know, it keeps that connection going.
Yeah.
So I think that's where they're getting at with this.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Do you have any mom jewelry from what she had?
I have like some, I would say gold, but they're like the.
But it's not like out. It's more like.
What about the charms?
Keepsake.
What charms?
Her charms that she always. We don't have those.
Yeah, we have them. Yeah. I mean, they're locked
more keepsake?
Up. Yeah, they're locked up. I mean, they're not wearables though. They're more of just, you know, things that we saw mom wear and whatever. They're just in like a box.
And to add to jewelry and clothes, one thing you could do is make a playlist.
Yeah.
A music playlist, like on Spotify with all the songs that, you know, the one you lost loved. And I think that could put you in a happy in place and just keep you connected. I think
remembering.
It's the fact of trying to connect to them to the point where they're with you.
I saw an article about that.
Yeah?
It's very true. Yeah, they had a playlist of songs. Well, just not, I guess I'm taking a different direction, but you're speaking of playlists where it's their favorite songs. Well, I guess it's somewhat similar, but there's also songs that, you know, talk about loss and grief and death and like Tears of Heaven, Eric Clapton. So they were saying songs like that, or P. Diddy's, or Puff Daddy, I should say, at the time. Missing You.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of songs like that. I think Angel, Sarah McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So those type of songs.
But that's different.
It helped them. It's a separate article, but I read something recently where it helps you get through that because it gets your emotions out and you can relate to it more. But what you're saying is songs that, but it also talked about that as well in the article, songs that remind you of the person. So it made me think about Mom and like all the songs that she would like. And when you hear them.
When you think about Mom's favorite song, what do you think of?
Her favorite songs?
Yeah.
There's several for me. I think about Two Occasions from The Deal. I think about Rick Astley. How do you say Taj?
Ashley.
Him.
Astley.
Yeah, Mom liked it.
Astley.
Is it Astley or Ashley?
Yeah, that guy.
Rick Astley. It's not Ashley.
I think it is, but go ahead. I'll fact check.
What's the I'll Be Loving You For Always? Atlantic Star? Midnight Atlantic Star?
Yeah, Atlantic Star.
That song.
You're talking about mm-hmm. Always?
And then you go into like mm-hmm. Tina Marie and all that.
Yeah.
Exposé.
Yeah, Mom. Oh, also Gloria Estefan. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Levert. Yeah. And Levert, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so maybe there's a lot of Mom love music.
So. Can I say something else real quick? Off topic. That actually, while we were talking, it kind of reminded me. I went to see Halloween.
The movie?
Yeah, last week. But one of the things we were just talking about was reminiscing and I love the movie, but it was also bittersweet, but I didn't realize why. It's like I still had like an emptiness inside in a way. And I actually realized that I saw all the Halloweens with Mom. Mm. And that was something that I kind of shared with her.
Did you really?
Yeah. And she was always scared, but she loved it, you know, at the same time. And so I didn't, you know, this time I went alone, but it was like weird because as we were talking and talking about reminiscing and what we, you know, all that stuff. I was like, wait a minute. I saw every Halloween with Mom except this one, pretty much. So it was weird.
I didn't know that.
I mean, there's a couple that came out, like the Rob Zombie ones, but I would have skipped them.
Who's Rob Zombie?
He did a remakes of... Oh. Yeah, we won't talk about those.
Sounds like a character.
Yeah. He's a singer as well.
Oh, okay.
A musician, yeah. I should say.
Okay. Okay, so we'll keep it moving. Number 13, Talk to Them... Even if it's one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
I think people do that. I'm trying to think. I've done that before. I've done that before.
Yeah?
Yeah. I've done that before. Because it's also a way of making... It makes you feel that they're close by.
Mm.
You know? And that they're listening. So I've done that. I've definitely done that.
Yeah, I've done that too. So, I mean, yeah, I've 100% done that. So I don't think.
You have not?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, if
I
you have to think about it, then you definitely have not. I ask all the time.
Yeah, you said that, Todd. You asked for like guidance and things.
Guidance, help, you know, strength.
Really?
Yeah. And you were right about Astley.
Mm.
So
spell it.
Astley.
Yeah. I didn't want to say you were right on the air, but I figured I might as well slip it through there. But go ahead. Yeah.
Never Gonna Give You Up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a song.
And there's another big song. There's another big song.
Yeah, there's. There's probably a few.
Yeah. but Todd, yeah.
He's British, right? Why am I asking you? He's British, right?
I want to say Australian.
He might be Australian.
Can you look that up since you're not doing much anymore?
I just closed it.
Okay, and number 14, we're moving through this.
English singer, songwriter.
I'm like on fire today.
Really?
Yeah.
He's English.
Yeah, there you go. Maybe go to the lottery.
Right? That's another thing.
Let's not talk about that.
Okay, number 14, Honor Them Through Poetry. This is close to me to writing songs.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a post from something. The only thing that gets me through is writing poetry. I try to put my feelings onto the page and try to find a way to honor the person I lost. That is from MJ Cormier, who posted it on Facebook. What's your guys' thought on this?
I think that's super powerful because it's a way of getting your thoughts down that you don't even kind of sometimes realize, you know, the pain that you're going through. And we do we do that with the music therapy class, Music Hills class, in terms of having the kids write lyrics, kind of. And some of them just write random stuff, but others write about their pain and their loss.
You know what's great about that too is it's kind of one of those it's one of those activities where you're it's not the first priority, because the first priority, like when you're writing poetry or writing song, is to try to make something creative. It's trying to make something fit into like a system, whether it's singability or, you know, there's like guidelines.
There's a pattern.
There's some type of guideline. Mm-hmm. And then the second, at least the way I see it, the second kind of, not subconscious, but the kind of innocent, I'm blanking on the term, sorry. But the second kind of like objective is to get...
You made us wait all that time for
the objective. No, it wasn't. It's still not the word I'm like.
Okay.
But it's to get your feelings out.
Okay.
And if the first objective was to get your feelings out, it may not be as productive. It may be more reserved. It may be more controlled.
However, that could just be the way you approach it.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people write, and I've seen you do this before.
What?
Like when we're writing lyrics, you throw out a lot of words.
I do.
You don't make sentences or anything. He just puts words out. He throws them out.
There's no sense to it.
And then
no method to the
those maps. Are the words that you kind of throw into the lyrics.
But I think what's cool about doing poetry or writing lyrics is it gives you that opportunity as the creator, as the one who's writing, to flip back and forth between what your main objective is. So when your objective is to be true or to get your emotions out, and if it becomes too overwhelming, you can kind of flip the switch and say, okay, how's the poetry part of it coming? Is it making sense? Is it fitting into the guidelines, the structure of what's needed, whether it's a song or poetry? And I think that's one of the kind of hidden magics of it, is that it allows you to innocently explore that pain without you really knowing it. Is that making sense? Okay. I mean, it's not going over your guys' elementary heads?
Elementary.
Okay. Number 15. You should, first of all, I guess we should take a phone call.
Yeah.
Let's take a phone call. Who is joining us on the line today on The Power of Love?
Yeah, hello, guys. It's Toya.
Hi, Toya. Hey. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks. And you guys?
Doing well.
Doing all right.
Doing well. What you got for us?
Okay, on topic, I wanted to give my opinion about what you said last week about number four, which was binge watch a lot of TV.
Yes.
And I have to say I'm not convinced about losing oneself in front of TV, because for me it can be dangerous. You know, staying in front of TV means you isolate yourself at home and doing nothing. I mean, no exercise. So my opinion, this can lead to worsen the situation, you know, giving you no motivation to move, to go out and to keep yourself active. So you know, for me, if it's about getting away from my grief and not being focused on my issues, I'd rather go to the theater and watch a movie, because at least it forces you to get out and to see people. And, you know, it's time limited. At the end of the movie, you have to face the real life again.
I think that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm. That is a very good point.
I think it's a very valid point. Anybody want to respond to that?
No, I mean, I like what you say in terms of that. Because, isolation can be something that is very, very dangerous, especially when you're going through grief.
Yeah.
And I think that is what you say is right on topic for that. I'm known to be isolated, so... But it's on purpose for other reasons.
The one thing, though, that first of all, I agree with you, Tori. I think definitely going to a movie, because you actually get out and, you know, you do get that couple hour escape and then you have to come back and face real life. I think that's incredibly valuable. With that said, I think one of the strengths of the binge watching, I think the point of it was that you could kind of lose yourself.
Get your mind off of things.
Well, no, it's losing yourself and identify with someone else's loss and grief. So in a way, not saying this would work for me, because I don't think it would, and maybe it wouldn't work for most people, but in those stories, there's usually a tragic storyline or something that's happening that where someone's dealing with a a disappointment. So by
by
watching the first three episodes, you've kind of connected with that person, and then when they go through that trouble, that struggle, you kind of feel like you're not alone. That see, they got to go through it. Where if you go to a movie, you don't have that 3-4 hour setup of connecting with them as a character. That makes sense.
Yeah, right.
So, but I think I think you are right, because I think the main part of that is just the escapism, and I think getting outside is an important part of it. I think it can be, you know, I don't know. But thank you, Toria, for that call.
Toria, yeah. I have a question real quick. How's your son doing?
Not doing so well today, but hopefully he will get better with time. It was very challenging, but you know, when you see your child struggling and aching, it's very hard, but hopefully you will get better. But thank you for asking.
Yeah, well, we're giving you a lot of love and support on this end.
For sure.
Thank you. And I wanted to thank all the 3G fans that send me lots of message of support and things. So it means a lot.
That's beautiful. Well, thank you, Toria, and stay strong, and give your son a big hug from us, okay?
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Alrighty.
Thank you, guys.
Take care. We're with you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Thank you, Fataj, for saying that.
No. I mean, the thing is that when you go through anything, support is so important. And it makes me always feel really good, because we do have such a great community of people that are, you know, that are either going through something or empathize with someone that is going through it. And so it's like, for me, that's kind of why we're doing this.
Absolutely. And I'm happy that the fans and listeners are stepping up and supporting each other.
Yeah.
Because, like the method of this whole show, like the theme of it is, we're all going to go through tough times and struggles, and we need each other to support each other to get through it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we are sending you all the love, Toria, through this difficult time. Right. All right, so back to the list. Again, the list is 27 things that can really help you while you're grieving. We are on number 15. And number 15 is an important one. It is, don't judge yourself for grieving. I think this is a very important one, because I think a lot of times, because of how society is, we tend to judge ourselves for how we're grieving or how we're not grieving.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so important to know, and this is something that every listener should understand, everyone grieves their own way.
Mm-hmm.
So at their own time and at their own schedule. We aren't all the same. So, there's no rules. So if a 4 kids that lost the parent, 2 may handle it one way completely different than one who may be handling it different, completely different than the last one. So you can't judge, you can't prejudge, you can't make an opinion on whether they're not grieving enough, whether they're grieving too much. You just have to be there and support them through the difficult time. Obviously, you should be there to try to help them, but do not be careful about judging them, and of course, judging yourself.
Yeah.
If you lose a loved one and you're not crying, don't think you're the worst person in the world because you're not crying,
mm-hmm.
and vice versa. If you're crying nonstop, don't think that you're being too weak. Don't think that you're handling it wrong. We all have our different ways to grieve, and the important thing is to understand that and to know that and to support each other through that difficult process.
I have a friend that lost her husband, and she has kids, and she was extremely strong in a way that to some people it looked like she was nonchalant, but she was trying to be strong for her kids. And I think, you know, it goes both ways. You know, some people cry at home alone, you know, and some people cry out in public. And I think, as you said, don't judge people, because luckily I was good friends with that person, so I knew what she was going through. But a lot of people saw only a strong person that was like unmoved by what had happened. And she was doing that to be strength for her kids.
Yeah.
So,
And then Samantha Leah on Facebook says, don't judge yourself for not getting over it fast enough. Mm-hmm. You have to grieve in your own time. There's generally no right or wrong way to grieve. My husband likes to talk about good memories and good times. I prefer to be alone and to have quiet. So, as we just said,
everyone's different.
Everyone is different. And it's important to understand that and to respect it. Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on. Number 16, take care of others as a way of taking care of yourself. Yeah. This is interesting. I'm going to read into it a bit more, but my first instinct is kind of the opposite. You know, I feel like you have to take care of yourself before you can take care of others, but this is saying take care of others as a way of taking care of yourself. What do you guys think about that?
I think it's, all of these. I don't think it's like a set in stone thing. I think these are just tools that you take what you can from it. If it works for you, great. If it doesn't, that's fine. But I agree with this a little bit. You know, I'm not saying that you have to take care of others all the time before you know, that's the way you take care of yourself, you know, but sometimes when you do things for other people, it lifts you up.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what it means.
Apollina. Apollina Vita for him, on guys. Facebook says, I buried my entire family except for one of my brothers. Every loss hurts differently. For me, taking care of other people helps when I don't know what to do with myself, when I feel full of emotions but need to do something constructive. I try to comfort others. I bake a lot. I think of details that need to be attended to and do them. I help myself when I help others.
Mm-hmm. And again, I think keeping busy.
Yeah.
By helping other people, by volunteering or doing something, you're just putting yourself in motion to stay busy, stay connected with life, and you know, sometimes it's a good way to escape things.
Yeah,
I think also I think it gives you worth, self-worth in a way, because if you're taking care of someone else, you feel important.
Yeah,
and I think that also can help.
We just have to be careful not to, in the method of taking care of others, not to lose ourselves.
Right. Yeah.
So we just got to be strong on that. Okay, well, let's jump on the phone lines. Who do we have calling today on the Power of Love?
Hello. Hi. I'm so excited I got through, finally.
Who is this?
Hi, I'm Janae. I'm calling from Virginia, and I have my colleague here with me, hey, Alicia, Janae, who calls every week. We listen to your show every week.
Oh, nice. How are you?
Yes. And I was just calling because I could definitely relate to grief. I recently lost my grandfather like 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. And with somebody, I think you all said it, about putting your mind into something creative. Mm-hmm. I actually made like a photo album this past year, and I put like all old family pictures in there, pictures with when he held my daughter for the first time. So wow. that helped me with my grief, you know, with the situation with losing him. And of course, it was very devastating to my mom and my aunt and all of them, because he took care of them for many, many years.
Yeah.
So I can definitely relate to that.
You know what I love about that too, Janae, is that not only probably the process of putting that family album was it, you know, mm-hmm. healing for you, but now the fact, you know, you can look at it whenever you want, you know, whether it's now, that's whether it's in 5 years, mm-hmm. and I'm going to assume you feel good and it brings you in a good space when you look through those pictures.
Absolutely.
And if you didn't do that, not only would you have gotten the benefit of the healing in creating that album, but you'd also lose that opportunity to put yourself in those happy moments, you know? So big ups absolutely. To you for doing that. And we love hearing that.
Yeah. That's a great story. Yes,
and then just looking back at memories that, sometimes they flip your mind, but when you look at it, it just puts you back in that state, puts you back in, you know, that time frame when it did mm-hmm. happen. So that's something that's comforting as well.
Absolutely. Great. Well, thank you so much, Janae. Yeah. Nice to hear your voice. Yes. And thanks for calling
thanks
in
for
and sharing.
Call.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Okay, absolutely. I do want to pass the phone over to my coworker, Alicia, because she would like to talk as well, okay?
Okay. Cool.
No, my quick question, Janae, what is there? Virginia like right now? What's the weather like in Virginia?
You can't ask Janae. I'm sorry. You can't ask Janae. Janae has on 3 sweaters right now.
It sounds like me.
It's cold?
And it's not cold. It's not cold.
I get chilly. I get cold quickly.
So time out.
I like to layer up.
So what is it, about 65 degrees?
Yeah.
I know what that meant.
That's not that bad. I have your back, Janae. Don't worry. Taj has your back. He understands.
So Alicia, what do you got for us?
Yes, it was funny that they mentioned telling jokes and just making jokes and laughing, because I remember when I was really young, my grandmother had passed away and we had to go to her funeral, and we lived out of state. And when we got there, I was nervous because I'd never been to a funeral. I knew it was a sad occasion, and I was just like, I'm just going to be sitting in the corner and just be quiet because I really don't know how everybody's going to behave. And when my mom and my aunt were getting dressed, they were talking about how much my mom looked like my grandmother. And they were joking that when she comes in, because people hadn't seen her in so long, they're going to think it's my grandmother. Mm. And they were making jokes and they were laughing. And I was just thinking, okay, this is odd. I thought you guys were going to be crying and sad. But no, everybody was just making jokes and remembering funny things about her and things that she would say. And it was just a different experience. And I didn't expect that. I didn't expect them to be happy and laugh.
Right, right.
What was your thoughts at that time when it was turned, when like that minute it became, you saw the happiness, what went through your mind?
At first I was like, okay, this is not right. You're not supposed to be happy. You're supposed to be sad and crying, because that's what I set myself up to expect, to see family members crying and being sad. But then the more they told the jokes and everybody was laughing, the more I got at ease and more comfortable with the situation. Yeah. Like, I'd never been to a funeral. I never lost anybody, so it just made me more comfortable and realize it's all about how you feel. You know, if you want to be joyful, it's okay to be joyful. If you want to be sad, it's okay to be sad.
That's so true. And Alicia, thanks for sharing that, because it's so important, because there's people that are going to go through that first loss and not know what to feel and not know if they're supposed to feel a certain way. And I can remember, even with Grandpa's passing a couple months ago, there were several times where we were laughing and smiling, and it wasn't obviously laughing at what happened. It's laughing because
our amazing moments Wendell of our grandfather. Would do his voice.
Yeah.
And that was, you know.
I think I saw that. Someone was mimicking, they were mimicking how Joseph will speak.
Yeah.
I think he was saying something about not crying.
Yeah.
And I laughed.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Yeah. And what I love about it is because our cousin Wendell has more experience and age and wisdom than us. Yeah. So I think he knew that, you know, to take it there, you know what I mean? And it did help. It brought love. The room had a whole big, like, different
and
type
was,
of love.
He was right. Grandpa would want everybody laughing and smiling and so, celebrating.
Thanks for making that point, Alicia, because that's such an important point to make, you know? That you, just because it's a funeral, just because it's a difficult time, doesn't mean you can't smile or laugh, you know, in memory of someone wonderful. So thank you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So thank you, guys.
Thank you, Alicia. And you have a wonderful...
And Taj, I am so excited for you. You're going to have a lucky little girl.
I know. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And
thank you, guys.
It's my first niece, so I'm excited about that,
Don't worry. I'll bring her on air the first week. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, thank you, Alicia.
Congratulations to you too, TJ.
Thank you. And thank Jonave, too. It was great to hear her voice. So thank you guys out there in Virginia. And you guys take care, okay?
Stay warm.
Okay, you too.
All righty.
Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
I love our listeners. They're just classic, man. They're just wonderful people.
And great points, too.
Great points, both of them.
That triggered the same thing for me.
Yeah.
Because it's true. You feel at a funeral, you know, when you lose someone, you're supposed to be sad. And of course, you'll feel those emotions. But it's okay to remember the happy times as well and have a laugh. Because, you know, life is ups and downs. And you have to remember the good moments and the good times.
Mm. So important. So well done. Okay, number 17, try switching to a new kind of diet. Now, why would we switch to a new kind of diet?
I think just to switch it up. Mm. I think it's something different, something new. changes your focus when you're on a new diet, you're on a new plan, new regimen thing. And I think it's just change. Mm. So you're not stuck. Mm. You know, that's so fair. That's how I would think of it.
Interesting. Todd, what do you think real quick?
No, you lost me on.
I think the idea is just doing something different, because a lot of these things,
changing,
you know,
up,
finding finding a new hobby, switching to a new diet, it's just not being stuck, I feel, and trying something different. So yeah, you can dive into something different, pick up something new, learn something different.
Did any of you guys do?
Well, I changed diets all
the
time.
No, when mom passed, did you change?
I remember just having a lot of gummy bears and oranges.
See, it's so interesting because
that wasn't my diet, but that's I just remember eating.
You remember that?
It's so interesting because in the recap for number 17, try switching to a new kind of diet. It talks about using the moment as an incentive to kind of like switch into a healthier.
Mm.
So, like Terrell just kind of confirmed, we tend to go through bad eating and just pick out or drink bad things or stay up late and just sit around. And it's saying to basically try
take
to
care of yourself as
to
well.
Take hold of it, the situation.
To try and counter it.
Go to the gym, eat healthier.
Yeah.
You know, make sure you're moving. And not only that, there's got to be some benefits in terms of healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You'll probably feel better if you're feeding yourself with healthier food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You'll feel better if you're getting that exercise out and that pent up frustration or anger out. Because as we all know, exercise helps dealing with stress and frustration. Mm-hmm. And so there's probably some type of link. So in addition to try switching to a new kind of diet, I think we should add, try to get physical activity in, try to go to the gym. But I bet you that's probably later. Mm. Right, Terrell? You look like you...
No, I was just trying to see if you were adding your own little 17B in here.
So for now, it will be 17B. Go to the gym, get your fitness, get your exercise in. Okay, and the last one for today, before we do the last nine next week, this is a three-part segment, and number 18 is going to be accept. Did I say that word right?
No, accept.
What?
You said accept, and it, oh my gosh, accept.
Accept is like this, accept that.
Accept.
Accept. Okay, then you start getting that mental game where it's like, this sounds weird.
Okay.
So let's not do that.
Okay.
Accept the way you feel, no matter how you feel. And it's okay not to be okay, basically. Make sure, Taj, come off. I got to walk the dog back to the table.
Stay with us.
Come on, Taj, stay with us. But you gotta be okay with how you're feeling.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, if you feel like crying, you got to cry. If you feel sad, you got to be sad. You be okay with it. It's a journey. It's a process. You're going to go through a bunch of different emotions and be okay with that. And if you've lost someone, you can kind of probably relate to it. There's nothing wrong with how you handled it in terms of that. Accept what you're going through. Hmm. You guys have anything to add to that?
No, I think you have to be real with yourself. You have to be honest with yourself. Know that it's normal the way you're feeling. There's nothing right. There's nothing wrong. It is what it is, and it's okay.
Rachel Maynard on Facebook said, "The thing that helps me the most is just accepting the way I feel about the things I've been through. I finally stopped listening to everything that told me I had to be strong and bear it and hide the way I felt. At first, I would find time to be alone, sometimes just a few minutes, and I would let myself feel the way I wanted to. If I was sad, I would cry as hysterically as I needed to. If I was angry, I would yell. It helped." And I think that is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. You got to let yourself go through all your emotions. I think we get in trouble when we try to suppress them, when we try to hide them, when we try to negotiate with them, when we try to, you know, rid them. And I think that's key. We got to listen to our emotions. We got to respect our emotions and let our emotions out. So, with that said, we're going to stop. We're going to pause on these 27 things that can really help you while you're grieving. We'll do a small, quick recap next week on them before we hit the last nine. Any takeaways you guys have for today's show?
I'm just going to once again want to thank all the board,
yes,
the volunteers for DDJF as well as for HEAL LA for coming out, making the weekend great. And I forgot to mention it, the K-9 basketball won the championship.
We won the championship, which was great, because not only were we not supposed to win the championship, I don't think we were supposed to win the semifinals game to get the championship. And we won them both in very similar ways. We're not the youngest team anymore, so we kind of beat them with wits and wisdom. And shout out to you, Terrell, for coming and coaching.
Yes, I coach.
Out of retirement, this championship game. But your poise and your wisdom probably helped the younger kids. was a hindrance to me, but for the other guys, it was good.
Shout out to the general manager, Taj Jackson.
Taj, but Terrell, good point. Thank you to the board and the volunteers.
And everybody that helped. You know, the sponsors. That donated time and sponsors. Yeah. And everybody that just chipped in and made it great.
Yeah.
You know, it was a lot of fun.
When, the last thing, Taj, is there anything you want to say? No. Okay. Well, the last thing I want to share too is doing the foundation is a lot of work. It's not easy, but it is very rewarding. And trust me, there are times where it's really tough for a variety of reasons, but it's very fulfilling. And we want to thank you, the listener, for contributing to us.
That's right.
For supporting us and for really just trying to be there for us in any way that you have, whether it's phone calls, whether it's donations, whether it's spreading the word, whether it's sharing posts, that all helps, you know, and whether we see it or we act on it, just putting it out there helps, because if, you know, if there's a tweet that you tweet that is about grief or about loss and we miss it, your followers are seeing it and they may share it and they may like it and it may change their life. And they may, if they don't tweet it, they may talk about it to someone who needs it.
Just spread.
So just spread. It just spreads. So just continue to support what our mission is, because it's a very important mission in life. As we say, we know how to win, but as a whole, we don't know how to lose. And we're trying to change that narrative. With that said, if you found our program helpful and can afford to do so, please go to DDJF and support the foundation. But again, if you can't afford to do so, please just spread the word. Just share the awareness. You know, DDJF.org. Visit it. Learn from it. And that's pretty much it. Anything else you guys want to talk about?
That's it.
That's it for
next week.
Have a happy and safe Halloween, everyone. And we will see you next Wednesday. November 7th? No.
I don't know.
Come on, guys. We can figure this out. What is it, Taj?
No idea.
Jeez. November 7th.
Is it?
It's November
6th.
7th. All right. November 7th. Adios, everyone. Have a wonderful Halloween.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.